And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Stand with us.
Covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him,
of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the promise to protect those that fear you. Thank you that there's nothing to fear and there's nothing to shame in your love and in your light. Dwell in us today, in this moment and everywhere after. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Lighting would take care of that. All right. Let's not do that all over again. Yeah, so we're celebrating baptism, and which we've not done for a long time, actually. And we've got quite a backlog to catch up on. So two of them this morning. We're so excited to be able to do that, to be able to hold on to God's promises and to recognize that God extends his grace. And so I want to invite Ben and Sarah and Michelle and Adam to the front. We're switching sides here. Normally we did it on that side. And you don't want to stand there because there's a camera right there. So how about right there? Perfect. Great. Yeah, something like that. Awesome. Yes. So God establishes his promises to these families, just as God established those promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to way back even to Noah, way back even to Adam. God has always been that kind of promise-giving God. And Jesus refers to that promise when in Matthew, at the end of the gospel, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," Jesus says, here's the promise, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so we ask you as parents, as you present your children for baptism, to give your promises back to God as a response of God's grace upon your lives, with the anticipation that one day your children will respond to God's grace as well. And so I'll ask you these following questions. Adam and Michelle, Ben and Sarah, do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? And do you promise to teach these children by word or by example in the truth of God's word? And do you promise to pray for them and to teach them to pray? And do you promise to nurture them in the body of believers as citizens of Christ's kingdom? Ben and Sarah, what is your answer?
We do. God helping us.
And Adam and Michelle, what is your answer?
We do.
God. All right. Who's going first? Step right up. All right. So Ben and Sarah have named their son Tyson Ray. Tyson Ray Audette. Tyson comes from the French, and I don't know if you looked this up, but Tyson means firebrand or high-spirited. So good luck. and Ray means wise protector. So it's good balance there, I guess. I was thinking about this, particularly that sense of firebrand. What does that mean in the context of what's revealed in Scripture? And it made me think of the Apostle Peter, how Peter would just go off, and he was a firebrand. And so I chose the words for Tyson from Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus says to his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And then he goes to the disciples and he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, and on this rock I will build my church." So Tyson Ray Audette, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I messed up his hair. All right. Wonderful. All right. Adam and Michelle and Judah. Hi there. Yes. All right. And they've named their second son Eli Andrew. Eli, of course, is a Hebrew name straight from the Bible. And Eli means height. Maybe referring to your height or something. I don't know. But that sense of height or elevation. Unless, of course, Eli is shortened from Elijah. Elijah means my God is Yahweh. And then Andrew, second name, is a Greek, and it means strong and manly. And I've never had... You heard that, Dad. All right. Yes. So this actually comes from our prayer app this week. Pastor Mike is leading us through the Psalms. And from Psalm 61, these words I thought of when I came up with these. Well, I didn't come up with these, but brought up these name meanings. From Psalm 61, verse 2 and 3. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. So may you always reach higher than yourself, Eli. And so, Eli, Andrew, Van Egmond, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. I know, it's a pain, huh? And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Judah's going, man, lucky I did it when I was younger. All right. I'm going to invite parents or a representative of the family, I guess. Normally we just invite anybody up here, but how about just parents and to surround grandparents, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Come on up. Okay, great-grandparents too. You got anybody? You got friends? Do you have friends? Oh, hey, you have parents. All right. So, not only do these parents respond to God's grace, not only do we anticipate that these children will one day respond to God's grace, but together, as we witness these baptisms, we also respond to God's grace. And I'm going to invite you to do that at this time, responding with, we do, God helping us, by saying, by responding to this question. Do you welcome these children in love? And do you promise to pray for them, to encourage them, and to help nurture them in the faith? What is your answer? Yes. Let's pray together. Indeed, God, we respond to your grace. We respond to your promise. And we say, God, we promise too, to teach these little ones to love you and to serve you. And Father, we pray that you will be with each of these families. We pray for Ben and Sarah. We pray for Michelle and Adam. God, we pray that you will give them the strength and the wisdom, the courage to parent well. We pray, God, that you will bless them with your Holy Spirit, bless them with kindness, with mercy, with patience, and with tremendous love for their children. And God, we thank you for surrounding us with people who will help us along the way. And so we pray, God, that as we have made our commitment to nurture these children together, we pray, God, that you will keep us faithful and that you will bring your blessing upon all of us as we seek to train one another up and to disciple one another in following hard after Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you will bless these families. Thank you for them. Thank you for the gift of these children. And God, may all that we do, may all that they do, bring honor and glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
Well, good morning, everybody. Isn't it terrific to experience God's faithfulness, to worship God together, to see each other? It's really great. So welcome to those of you who are here in person to New Life Church. And if you are new or been with us a little bit in this journey and you want to connect further with us and you want to find out how to do that, we have a connect card. And we invite you to fill out one of those if you would like to receive more information or ask a question about how you can participate in the life of this church and take next steps in your walk with Jesus. Also, I want to welcome and say hi to our online church as well. Each week, there is about 30 to 40 people that worship along with us simultaneously online. And Pastor Justin is online hosting this morning, too. We are really grateful for our online community. And for those of you who are online right now, and if you haven't had a chance to log in, go ahead and do so. That way we can connect with you, we can get to know you a bit more, and you can participate in the online chat as well. I just received that there is a black VW Jetta with lights on, RD868D. That's your license plate. And if that's your car, go ahead and see if you can sneak out and get your lights off so you can drive home. We want to welcome kids here this morning. And we're so excited to have kids with us. And if, you know, you're here, you see them raising and flying banners. We're so glad to see that. And there's coloring sheets in the treasure chest over here that they can be involved with in the service. And if you have kids who are of the age of 0 to 3 right now, we have a well-staffed nursery downstairs that you can bring your kids down there to. And we also want to say something that we're really excited about, that next week Sunday will be the first time in 18 months that we've been able to open Little Lights and Kids Church. Yeah. We are so looking forward to being with the kids, worshiping with them, ministering to them, teaching them about Jesus, and that starts next week. We're also really excited to let you know about two new staff that we've invited on board. Esther DeWall is going to oversee Kids Church Ministry. That's grades 1 to grade 5. And Michelle, who was just up here having her son Eli baptized, is going to oversee preschool, which is Little Lights and nursery. So we're so grateful for God's provision there. And we've been seeing so many of you amazing volunteers taking steps forward to volunteer. And we're grateful for that. We still need more children's ministry volunteers. But we trust God. God will lead you, and we'll do that all together. Next week, Sunday, is ministry kickoff. And it's going to be a time of a fun time. We're going to have a county fair here. And if you don't have a Stetson or a Wrangler jeans or a jean jacket, this is your chance to buy one at Value Village and come next week Sunday dressed as someone going to a county fair. Now, we have just a little sample here of the wall ball maze, and I'd love to invite Marvin and Gabe to come up to help me just kind of demo this. So, guys, why don't you come on up? And here comes Marvin, and Gabe's coming up. Guys, if you could just bring that wall ball maze right here, and we're going to demo this game just to show you some of the carnival games that we're going to have in the back parking lot on Sunday. So let's give it a hand for these guys. I talked them into that, but we go a little closer this way, we get it on camera. That'd be amazing. Yeah, a little closer. What's that, Marvin? Oh, this is, right on. This is great. So this is the wall ball maze, and the idea is you get a minute on the clock, and let's get a minute on the clock, and we'll get it started, and they're going to try to draw that all the way up through the top, and as many times as you're successful in a minute. So in, let's get a minute on the clock, and let's go.
Three, two, one.
Here we go. Well, let's hear some cheering for these guys. Oh, good communication happening here. Wow. Oh, my word. Look at that. Oh. And it's happening. Whoa! Hey, they got another half a second or half a minute. You guys can do it again. You got another 28 seconds. Okay, they're done. All right. Great. That's just an example. If you want to play the game next week, Sunday, you can. There's going to be carnival food, carnival games. We're going to run this from 11:30 to about 1:30, or until all the hot dogs are done. And, you know, this is really is a chance for us to celebrate and have fun together as we look forward to this coming ministry year. It's also a chance for us to invite friends and family and for us to get to know new people. And we're inviting the whole Del Air community and want to invite you to do that. We have postcards on the back table in the foyer at the info booth with some maps. And if you could, today after the service or this afternoon, take a map with some of the postcards and deliver postcards to our community that is an invite to come to the New Life County Fair. That would be amazing if the community that we've been praying for here for the last number of 6, 7, 8 months, that we would begin to meet them again, and hopefully they can connect with the church and begin to follow Jesus and worship together as well. So invite your friends, and let's invite the Del Air community. And it's going to be fun. We have a chance to give as well. And we're going to do a chance to give to a ministry called Joshua House. So we're really honored to serve with Joshua House. They're a men's focused recovery ministry for those who have chronic type of addictions. And it's a great ministry that we have seen God use powerfully. Men come to faith, they get free from drugs and addictions. And there's a number of ways that you can give. We'll give you a chance to give in the offering basket, which is, or the box over here and over here. We'll get a chance to do that in just a moment. I wanted to get you ready to do the Joshua House offering in just a moment. But I want to tell you about September Serve Focus. And we have a quick video that will explain it. And let's roll it now.
Just want to let you know about our September Serve Focus. Throughout 2021, we've been emphasizing serving, and each month we place a different emphasis on a particular aspect of serving. And so in the month of September, we're emphasizing serving right here at New Life Church. It takes a lot of servant heart to run our ministries together. So why serve?
We serve because we imitate Jesus. He gave his life for us.
We serve because it's our worship. It's praise to God.
Because the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others.
We serve because, as it says in Ephesians 4, we have each been equipped for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
We serve because we are each an essential member of the body of Christ.
Right on. And so we want to invite you to participate in serving. You know, here at New Life, we want to pursue a changed life for Jesus' glory and to live in a diverse community and to make a radical impact. And this is your chance now. We're going to have a 5-minute break where you can come and sign up at the booths. We have ministries for GEMS and cadets, hospitality ministries, children's ministries, and our worship and media ministries are there with sign-up sheets. So right now, we're going to have a bit of an informal time, about 5 minutes long, where you can bring your offering for Joshua House and New Life Ministries. You can sign up to serve in a ministry, and there's Timbits and other goodies that are involved here. So let's serve, and let's serve here at New Life, and let's get started now. Go ahead.
Jesus is calling.
right. If you would take a seat. All right. Wonderful. Well. So we're beginning this new fall season, and certainly throughout the week on staff, tremendous amount of excitement and while also just some nervousness about starting everything up and carrying on. And so today we're starting a new series of messages also, and the series is called Rise Up, Rise Up. And that's meant for you to rise up, which is part of the invitation to serve in these ministries and so on. But you'd be surprised at how many times that word or those words rise up occur in the Bible. God says rise up over and over again to his people. Rise up, he says to Abraham. Rise up, he says to Jacob. Rise up, he says to Joshua, to Jonah, to all of the people of Israel. And we'll take a look at some of those passages as well. But in Philippians 4, we get a call to rise up as well, so that God says it also to the church of Jesus Christ. Rise up. Because Philippians 4 speaks to the church in a time of turmoil, in a time of high anxiety, in a time of a lot of stress, much like the times that we find ourselves in. And here's the message. Therefore, from Philippians chapter 4, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. In other words, rise up, dear friends. And the way to do that, Paul outlines, is to rejoice, to be gentle, to be thankful, and to pray. And then he says this, and finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In much earlier days, they used to refer to church people in three ways. There were the rowboat people. Rowboat people are the people who are rowing with all of their strength as they row against the stream, upstream, and they've got all of their energy, all of their strength into it, and they're rowing hard, and they make some progress, though it's difficult. Constantly going against the current. And in an effort to row upstream, they eventually run out of energy and they get worn out. Then there are the sailboat people. Sailboat people, given the right winds, their sails are full and ready to travel for God at great distances. And for a time, everything seems wonderful. But when the wind stops blowing, the boat stops sailing, and it begins to drift. And then there are steamboat people. Steamboat people don't care about the current. They don't care about the wind. Steamboats are powered by fire and water. Fire and water that turns into steam, that turns the propellers and moves it to its destination, regardless of wind or weather or conditions. And of course, then we are called to be those kind of people, steamboat people. In stress and difficulty, we rise up, but not on our own strength, but on the fire and the water of the Spirit of God. And when we allow Christ to come into the center of our lives, to take control and indeed to be the master of our lives, then we can stand firm. Then we can rise up into joy and peace. Because it's not what happens in life that brings such joy or peace. It's not the circumstances of our lives that bring that, but how you handle what happens that gives you a sense of contentment. How you handle it. And what we're talking about then is how you shape your life. And the key to standing firm in the Lord is letting Christ transform your mind. That's what Paul's encouragement to the Philippians is all about. Letting Christ transform your mind. Letting him enter your every thought. What you think guides how you will act and how you will react to the circumstances of your life. Standing firm in the Lord means that you will have to fill your mind with the right thoughts. So let's think about this for a little bit in terms of how Paul talks about it. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Think about those kinds of things. What's he talking about? Well, when we think about whatever is true, we're concerning ourselves with truthful things. Not lies, not gossip, not convenient half-truths. If only we could be more honest. We could fill our minds with truth. Perhaps being more honest with each other. Then a lot of our conflict could be erased. If only we could be more honest with ourselves. Then standing firm in the Lord means facing the truth about ourselves. That we're sinners, completely dependent on God's grace to free us from our sin. And whatever is true is not just what's true for you. Whatever is true is the truth of the gospel. Concentrate on those things. How does your life, how do your thoughts reflect the truth of the gospel? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do your thoughts reflect that? Think about whatever is true, but think also about whatever is noble, Paul says. See, we live in a society that loves all kinds of facts and has access to all kinds of trivia and bits of knowledge. It's all just a bunch of information at our fingertips if we don't know how to handle it well. Because what will we do with all those bits of knowledge? Maybe as we think about all the things we know, we also need to recognize all of the things we don't know. And then our thoughts can be more noble because they'll be directed to things of the mystery of God, to the things that are beyond us. Learn to think with a sense of mystery and awe and reverence, and then your thoughts will be noble. You know what that's like? When you get caught up with all of these facts, you know, you come across all kinds of facts on the internet and on Facebook, wherever you're reading this stuff. And there comes a point where you don't know what to do with all this knowledge, all these facts. Let your thoughts be noble. And then focus on a reverence and an awe at knowing who God is. Think about whatever is true. Think about whatever is noble. Think about whatever is right. Or perhaps a better word might be reputable. Think on what is reputable. In our day and age, it's so easy to get diverted, to get our focus in a million different directions. And then we don't know what to believe and what not to believe anymore. But think about what is right, what is reputable. It's easy to slip into convenient ways or into bad habits. But if you train yourself to value what's right, what's reputable, then you can better resist temptations. So think about what is reputable in the context of the gospel, of a life that follows hard after Jesus. Think about what is true. Think about what is noble. Think about what is right or reputable. But think also about what is pure, Paul says. With pure thoughts, we can better rejoice in the Lord. So Paul is, it's the context out of which Paul is saying, occupy your mind with pure thoughts so that you can rejoice in the Lord. He's talking about celebrating God's presence. Pure thoughts aren't just moral purity, but pure thoughts are about thinking of the presence of God in every situation. What does that mean for you in your life? To recognize and to be aware of God's presence all around you, always. Celebrate that presence of God. There's so many impure thoughts that crowd out God in our daily lives. Realizing that he's always there in all of our activities, in all of your ambitions, in all of your friendships, helps to focus on thoughts that are worthy and genuine. Think about what is true. Think about what is noble. Think about what is reputable. Think about what is pure. And think about what is lovely. Earlier when in the chapter, in verse 2, Paul, just before he instructs us to think about whatever is lovely, he's instructed the Philippian church, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, two women in the congregation who were powerful workers of the gospel. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's the context out of which he's talking about, think about whatever is lovely. These two women were really faithful. They were upstanding Christians. But it's not good enough that they're both really hard workers for the gospel. They have to demonstrate peace. They have to demonstrate harmony. They have to demonstrate whatever is lovely. They ought to display the body of Christ, the unity of the family of God. In other words, the Christian mindset ought to be set on those things that draw from others some admiration, some adoration, some affection, to recognize something lovely in our being together. Think about these things. Think about what is true, whatever is noble, whatever is reputable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and then finally, whatever is admirable. Paul says, whatever is admirable, something worthy to fill our minds. And what Paul has in mind is that which is gracious, that which is kindly. Because when we strive to stand firm together, when we strive to rise up, we must think of such things. Our minds must foster that kind of generous spirit with one another so that it reflects something admirable, something appealing. In other words, be ready. Be ready to forgive. Be ready to give in, even. Be ready to give graciously, generously. Whatever is admirable. It's about learning to live in joy and in the peace of God. peace and joy in God. In a time such as this, that's a startling thing to strive for. And yet, the gospel holds that out as something that is given to us as a gift. Think on these things. Train yourself with the best things, the highest thoughts, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is excellent. Rise up to God. Stand firm. It's about focusing all that's good and true and beautiful. That doesn't mean that your life's or our life together is always going to be good and true and beautiful. But what it does mean is that more and more we will be filled with Christ and His Spirit. And so I want us to begin this season of ministry together with that sense of rising up to enter into the joy and the peace that God offers to us. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for your promises, promises that we've celebrated already earlier with baptisms and promises that we hear in Scripture. Your promise, God, to extend to us joy and peace, not because our lives are so awesome, but because you are great and good and faithful. And so help us to cling to that, Father. So fill our minds with all that is true and noble and reputable and pure and lovely and admirable. God, we pray that anything that is praiseworthy, praiseworthy towards you, that we let our minds be filled with those things. And when there's other distractions, God, and when there is other conflicts, and when there's more confusion, God, focus once again our minds on Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to be faithful to that, Father, and fill us with your Spirit that we may enter into your joy and into your peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us. Open the eyes of my heart.
So go out into this week, into the world, in holiness. May the God of hope fill you as you trust in him. May he fill you with joy and peace so that you will be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in his peace. Amen.